Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I'm your host, Hannah Elise. How's everyone doing today? I hope you said you were doing well. If you did, I'm happy to hear that. If you did not say you were doing well, I'm sorry. Either way, I'm excited to spend the next like 30 or 40 minutes with you. So yeah, I'm doing well today. I never know if I want to say what day it is that I'm recording, because I don't know if it like breaks the fourth wall, because obviously I post on Tuesdays, but I don't record on Tuesdays, obviously. Anyway, it's Friday when I'm recording this. It is actually sunny today. There are clouds in the sky, but it's sunny, which is good because I have not seen the sun in a while here in New York City, and the forecast for the next like week and a half is consistently cloudy. So that is not the vibe. I love the sunshine and it makes me feel so much more invigorated. So I'm in a good mood today. I am so excited for today because tonight I have a couple friends that are in town. So I'm going out to dinner and then I think we're going to go out for drinks or something after. It's going to be a hoot, I hope. I think it's going to be a very fun night. I'm currently marinating in self-tanner right now because I want to slay tonight. I really want to pop off. As soon as I'm done recording this, I am going to wash off my self-tanner, but This is a hot take. Some of you may not agree. Some of you may agree, but I love the smell of self-tanner. This is a very controversial thing for me to say on this podcast right now. I'm being very vulnerable and brave with you guys. I personally enjoy the smell of self-tanner. I don't know. Am I crazy for that? You know, probably. As far as what I'm drinking today, I'm very excited about this. I started making matcha. So if you follow me on YouTube and you watch my What I Got for Christmas video 2022 this past year, you would know that, or actually my Christmas wishlist video this past year, you would know that I asked for a matcha set from Etsy and I wanted to have like a full set of all the tools I needed, and I wanted one of those little like bamboo whisks to mix it all together because I hear that those are the best, whatever. So I asked for that set and I got it for Christmas from Santa. So I started making matcha, or trying, like practicing making it the other day. So this is like my third day at it. And I think I'm getting better. I am making significant progress. So my drink of the day is a matcha latte. It's so good, actually. I'm so proud of myself. Like, it's just, I've gotten so much better. I'll definitely include it in videos and like make some type of post about my recipe once I get it down pat. I need to get like a vanilla syrup or something to put in it because I want to make a vanilla matcha latte. Right now I'm just using like what I have in my fridge, which is my unsweet vanilla almond milk and my hazelnut creamer, like just my regular coffee supplies. And I've been putting that together and I use the Chamberlain Coffee Matcha. So I've just kind of been throwing all of that together. And I mean, it's working out well right now. Like that's what it's in this one right now. And it is very good. So proud of myself. And that's what I'm drinking. And lately, I don't know, I've just been on a matcha kick. Charlie! Sorry to interrupt. Charlie just came out from under my bed. Come here. Charlie's here. Charlie is watching. I think ever since I had a cold last week, I have not like been craving my typical latte like with coffee. So I decided to just try out matcha. Why not? It has been so freaking good, so refreshing, exactly what I need right now. So I'm really excited about that, making major improvements on that front and in life in general. I'm like adding this to my skill set, which I love. Charlie, do you want to speak to the people? She's like, no. Also, if you're not aware, Charlie is my cat. Her name is Charlotte. She's my best friend. She is going to be 2 years old. She is the sweetest little thing ever and the light of my life. So every time I see her, I act like I have never seen her before. Like I act like it's been 3 years since I've seen her. And I get very excited because I love her so much. Right, Charlie girl? You digital girls. Anyway, I think that's all the scene setting I really need to do right now. I don't have much else that's new to update you on. So, you know, let's just get into the topic of today's episode. So this topic was inspired by something that happened last night. Last night, I also went out to dinner with a couple of friends, and my sweet friend Catherine said to me that she feels like I could be a public speaker, which I, huge compliment. That made me feel great. And I said, that's funny that you should say that, because I actually just put on my life bucket list that one of my life goals is to give a TED Talk. And she was like, I could so see you giving a TED Talk on embracing the uncomfortable. I mean, she took a second to come up with the phrase embracing the uncomfortable. It was like the first thing that she thought of. She like thought for a sec, but that's what she ended up saying. So obviously that is the title of today's episode, because I loved that. First of all, it's one of the best compliments I've ever gotten, I think. Just her saying that made me think, because embracing the uncomfortable, I feel like, is something that I think about every single day in my life. If she thinks I can give a TED Talk on it, then I, you know, could start by doing a podcast episode on it, because it is a theme in my life that I feel like is so important and that I feel like I could say a lot about. So that is where I got the inspiration for today's episode. Thank you to my friend Catherine for saying that and for inspiring today's topic. Embracing the uncomfortable is something that I have started to do a lot more in the past few years, mainly because I've discovered the fact that in order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable. Growth in and of itself is uncomfortable. I always point back to this quote from my mom. I don't know if she actually came up with this. She just like would say it. So now I say it and I quote her, but God knows if she actually came up with this. If she's listening to this, sorry for like discrediting you. I don't know. Did you come up with this? You can text me the answer. I know you're listening. Thank you. If you follow me, you've probably heard me say this before, but she always says that your comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. That's really the embodiment, I feel like, of this entire topic. In order to grow, you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone, therefore making yourself uncomfortable. Growth is a very, very important part of life. It is one of, I mean, honestly, probably top three most important parts of life. Growing in a physical sense, like growing up, growing emotionally and mentally, growing as a person, your personal development, growing in your career, growing your passions, just all of life really is about growth. Every single thing that you're doing points back to growth. So it makes sense then that we really need to embrace the uncomfortable, because growth is uncomfortable and we have to grow. Now, as someone with anxiety, I love my comfort zone. Also, as someone who's a massive homebody, I have a comfort zone, which is typically like my home. Right now it's my apartment. Before I moved here, it was my parents' house. Like, you know, my physical comfort zone, home situation. But then obviously there's like the comfort zone that's not physical. And it's just like, you know, what you feel the most safe and secure and comfortable doing or thinking or saying or whatever. So as someone with anxiety and somebody who's a homebody and somebody who would much rather, like, don't get me wrong, much rather stay in my comfort zone and just, you know, chill there and not have to like put myself in situations that I don't know how they're gonna turn out, because that really triggers my anxiety. Trust me when I say that this is easier said than done. I'm not trying to say, oh, this is so easy, like I do this so everyone else should be able to do this. No, I'm saying that I understand. If you're listening to me right now and being like, Hannah, I am not fucking doing that, babe. I'm so sorry. You lost me, okay? Just hear me out and wait. Give me a second and I will explain. And if you're not thinking that and you're like, hell yeah, I'm ready, I love putting myself in uncomfortable situations, and this is the episode for you, because you know all about this. So I say this every freaking episode, so I'm sorry, but I'm a visual learner. So I have a visual in my head accompanying pretty much everything that I talk about. So here's another one. I picture my comfort zone as a bubble and me in that bubble. And there is a limit to how much you can grow just within your comfort zone. Again, I picture myself, like a little picture of my face, okay, in the middle of the bubble, and then growth, my face getting bigger, okay? Eventually, my face is gonna be the same size as the bubble, or I'm gonna be like maxing out essentially the space that's in the bubble. And if I want to continue growing, I have to pop the bubble. There's a cap to how much that you can grow just within your comfort zone. You quite literally have to push yourself outside of it in order to reach your full potential. It's not like your comfort zone, it's a complete dead zone where like nothing grows at all, but it's limited. You literally have to exit your comfort zone in order to reach the highest levels of potential that you are capable of in life. It's the same thing physically. You make your body uncomfortable in order to get stronger. You have to make yourself uncomfortable in order to get mentally stronger, in order to gain new experiences, and just flat out in order to grow. It is in the discomfort that we find the most profound growth. So yes, I am literally saying that you need to make yourself uncomfortable on purpose. Understand that you feel that discomfort and do it anyway. Now, before I get into anything else, I just want to say, if you're like gut, your intuition is telling you that something's making you uncomfortable because it's like a bad thing and you really shouldn't do it, then don't do it. Like that, this doesn't count for that. I mean things that aren't, you know, everything else. Things that are areas you could potentially grow in, things that could be good for you, things that you want to do but you're nervous about, or they just like seem too much to even comprehend type of thing. Those are the things I'm talking about. Understand that you feel discomfort when you exit your comfort zone and keep going anyway. I'm currently rereading the book The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson, and in the early chapters of the book he talks about simply not giving a fuck, like how you shouldn't give a fuck. And he clarifies that he doesn't mean you shouldn't give a fuck about anything. He means you shouldn't give a fuck about every single thing. So my example of this is exercising. When I'm exercising, I consciously have been having the mindset that I don't give a fuck. And I don't mean that I don't about exercising in general or about the workout I'm doing. I mean, I do not care about the discomfort that I'm feeling as I'm exercising. Because to be fair with you guys, I hate exercising. I hate it when it's happening. It is so uncomfortable. Obviously, I would rather be laying in bed sipping a nice coffee than like pushing my body to its legitimate limits. But that's what I have to do in order to get stronger and in order to, you know, improve my body to like reach the goals that I have. I'm making my body uncomfortable on purpose in order to get stronger. And while I'm doing that, I have to not give a fuck about the discomfort. I have to recognize, obviously I'm recognizing that I'm uncomfortable because it's painful. And I'm like, I'd rather be in bed, but I can't care about those things. Whenever I have those thoughts when I'm in my workout classes, I literally tell myself I don't give a fuck about the discomfort I'm feeling right now, because I know that the results I'm going to get from it are way more important than the pain I'm feeling in this like little moment right now. When you think about leaving your comfort zone and making yourself uncomfortable and embracing that feeling, what is the worst that can happen? Genuinely. What's the worst that could happen if you do that? Maybe you do something and you find out that you actually don't like it. Then just don't do it again. You still learned. You learned, first of all, that you didn't like the thing that you did, but you also learned that you are capable of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And you gain confidence in yourself just by trying, just by doing it, taking that step. You gained confidence in yourself. So that's a win. Nothing is a loss if you choose to take a lesson out of it. Nothing is a failure if you choose to take a lesson out of it and keep that with you going forward and implement that and then, you know, maybe do something different next time. But if you do something that's out of your comfort zone and it doesn't go how you hoped, or you find out that you don't like the activity or the person or whatever it is that you went out of your comfort zone to experience, that doesn't mean that you failed at going outside your comfort zone and you should never do it again. That means that you simply don't like this one thing, but you proved to yourself in the process that you are capable of doing things that make you uncomfortable despite the discomfort that you're feeling. And that is really powerful. The only way you're going to get good at doing this, and really the only way you get good at doing anything in life, is by doing it over and over and over and over again, practicing with every single thing in life. I mean, I guess some people are just naturals at things, but those situations are few and far between. Even the people that you look at and you're like, wow, they are so naturally gifted or naturally talented or naturally able to do this thing, even they practice at it and like get better. There, no one is perfect when they first try to do something. Nobody's perfect in general, but nobody is like top tier excellent the first time they ever do something. Everyone practices. Everyone does things over and over again until they get better at them or until they get more comfortable doing them. Everybody does it. This is the same thing, except it's not a hobby or a talent or a class that you're working towards being proficient in. It's simply you're trying to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that takes practice. It takes reps. So don't get down on yourself if you do this and then it doesn't go well the first time, because you have to fall on your face in order to learn how to pick yourself back up. As I've seen on TikTok recently, you know, after the hardest flop comes the biggest slay. And that is just so true. And that's beautiful and poetic. And it, you know what I mean? Now, on the flip side, what is the best that can happen if you embrace the uncomfortable and step out of your comfort zone? The best thing that can happen is that your life changes for the better. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in other people's lives. It happens every day. Even if it's something that you don't notice at the time as being like a monumental shift in the trajectory of your life, you might look back a year later or a month later, whatever, and be like, wow, if I hadn't done that, I would not be where I am today, like in a good way. I would not be in the position with the job that I have or the friends that I have or the life that I have. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't taken that step out of my comfort zone. And it literally might not even be anything crazy. These things that I'm talking about you doing most of the time are not crazy at all. They are the smallest gestures. They are just a moment of courage, booking that class, reaching out to that person, sending like 10 word message can change your life. It's not about the size of the action. It's about recognizing that this thing is out of your comfort zone and doing it anyway. I wrote down a few examples from my own life that I have experienced in the last like year or two where I've done this. And sometimes I recognized it in the moment that this was something like really important. And like I have big monumental type things that I did that were out of my comfort zone. And also like really small things that I didn't even realize would have the impact that they ended up having. But now I'm looking back at those things and obviously I can see all the ways my life shifted because of that one decision. So let's discuss. I'm gonna drink some of my matcha first. I'm almost out and I'm like devastated. I can easily make another one. Matcha, by the way, is so easy to make. I don't know why I waited so long, but better late than never. Oh my God, guys, it's so good. Okay, so my first example is about friendship and putting yourself out there and reaching out to people in order to like, you know, meet them and see if you could become friends and make friends, stuff like that. So I moved to New York City about a year and a half ago. And for the first like 6 months or so, I didn't have like a set group of people. I didn't even have like one person that I felt was like a really close friend or like kind of my go-to person to hang out with type of thing in the city. I moved here and I knew a few people because some people from my hometown move here and I, you know them and I'm obviously friends with them. I'm talking about like making new friends in the city. I was really struggling with that because I work from home, first of all. I work by myself, so I don't have an office to go to. I wasn't really involving myself in anything, like any activities. I know people can make friends from like going to workout classes and going to the gym and stuff like that, but I wasn't really putting myself in situations or in opportunities to meet a bunch of people in like a controlled group setting. The reason I thought of this example is because I was on Instagram this morning and I had a little thing pop up in my story. It was like a replay and it showed me different stories that I had posted on this day in past years. So as I was clicking through, I saw my story from this day last year And it was the first day that I had hung out with my good friend, Anna. Obviously, she's a good friend now, but 1 year ago today, I had met her for the first time. She had just moved to the city. She posted on her story that she like was getting a bagel or something. I don't know. And I have a bagel place that I really like. So I just responded to her story and I said, you need to try out this bagel place. It's really good. Now I'm going to pause because reaching out to people, even something as small as responding to a story, isn't something that at the time I was comfortable doing. It's not something that I did a lot of. I always felt awkward when I would do that because, I don't know, I have this weird thing where I feel like I'm annoying to everybody. And if I reach out in any capacity, they're like, shut the fuck up, which obviously is just not even the case at all. It's just like something that I think of myself, or I thought of myself, I should say that. I always just felt kind of awkward and uncomfortable putting myself out there with people that I don't know because I don't know like what they're going to think or how they're going to take it. But I did that. That's literally the moment. That is the thing that I did where I stepped out of my comfort zone and I embraced the uncomfortable and I did it anyway. That very small thing, I literally responded to an Instagram story and I said, you should try this place. It's really good. And then she responded to it and was like, let's go. And I was like, oh my God, like, thank God I could make a friend here. So we set a time and a day to go to the bagel place. And then we also went and got coffee and we ended up sitting at that coffee shop, eating our bagels and drinking our coffee. And we talked for 4 hours. We brought our laptops because we were planning on doing work because Anna does YouTube as well. So we were literally just going to sit and like edit and eat our bagels and drink coffee together. And we ended up talking. We got to talking and we talked for 4 hours. And then she invited me to a little get together they were having at their apartment like just a few days later. And that's when I met a bunch of other people. And that's what started it. That's what started me making the group of friends that I have now in the city that have completely changed the trajectory of my journey here and my life here. These people that I've met have made this city feel like home. I always think of Friends, the show, when I think of my group because, I mean, I don't know, I just love the vibe of that group and Friends and I love my group and I just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just pretending like I'm the main character, but everyone is the main character of their own life, so, but that's literally how I feel. These people have made living here feel like home, and they feel like my family away from my family. It all started with me responding to an Instagram story. I love telling the story because it shows how important and monumental one small gesture can be in your life, and you don't even know it at the time. You have no idea what's gonna happen. Like, honestly, I could have gone and got bagels and coffee and we could have sat down and like, you know, talked but like not hit it off nearly as much and I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in right now, but I wouldn't know if I didn't try. So you can win or you can learn. I got lucky and I ended up winning. But if we didn't like each other, I would have just had to take a lesson from that and keep trying. So that's my first example and one of my favorite ones because I also, fun fact, was writing in my journal. I think it was like either the day before or a couple days before I reached out or before I don't remember if it was before I reached out or before I actually went, but I don't even journal like that much. I was just feeling really down and upset and lonely, and I ended up just writing all my thoughts down and like word vomiting, ranting in a journal about how I felt so lonely and how I see everyone else with all of these great friends, and I just was waiting for it to be my turn and wondering, like, why isn't it my turn? When's it gonna be my turn? And then this happened, like, really, really soon after. So it's proof that you just never know what's gonna happen unless you try and put yourself out there. Even if it's uncomfortable, it could pay off. So you should do it anyway. My next example is one that's a bit more recent, but it's another area that I felt really uncomfortable in. I feel like I have a few set areas of life that I feel the most uncomfortable kind of like stepping into. Meeting people and like friendships and stuff was one of them. The next one was exercising and working out and all of that kind of stuff. So I played soccer my whole life. So I was always exercising, but it wasn't like I had to like make up my own thing. I showed up to practice, they told me what to do, and I left. And I did that at one point in my life every day of the week. So I was used to training so much. And then obviously when I stopped playing soccer, I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm not going to do anything at all. I've tried so many different things, you guys. I tried several different gyms. I've tried a ton of different types of workout classes. I would be excited about them at first, and then I would kind of just like get bored or wouldn't really feel like going anymore, and then I would fall off. So having that history and knowing these things about myself, it kind of was even more discouraging to me. I'm like, well, fuck, I can't stick with anything, so like why even try type of thing. But I decided a few months ago that I really just needed to figure something out. Like I needed to find something I enjoyed doing and stick with it for my health, like for my fucking physical and mental health. This is something I really needed to do in my life, something I've been severely lacking, and it shows in so many different areas of my life. So I knew it was something I needed to work on, but I also knew it was something that made me very uncomfortable because of how it had gone in the past. That's another thing. I think that things that I have a history with and there's like evidence of it not working out discourages me even more from stepping out of my comfort zone again, because I'm like, well, I have a track record of things not going well. So it's likely gonna just do the same thing again, because that's just what continues to happen. And the most important part when you have that thought process is you need to recognize that that is not true. And thinking that way is only limiting your own growth and your own potential. So it's literally just doing you a disservice. But of course, I just didn't want to even think about that because it was too overwhelming to think about. It was too uncomfortable. And I was like, I'm cool staying in my comfort zone. I like this. This is nice. This is my little bubble, and I don't have to do this again. I don't have to go through something else that I don't like, whatever. So I went through a lot of different things. I tried a lot of things. And I think at the time I viewed those as a failure, like all the things that I tried and I didn't end up sticking with or didn't end up liking. I viewed all those things as a failure. When now, sitting here and looking back, I can recognize that they weren't failures. They were just me learning what I like and what I don't. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually a good thing. It's good to be able to learn what things I like and what I don't. And even if I say that I don't like something, that doesn't mean I won't like it again in the future. It's just right now that's not the thing for me. And I think that's a valuable thing to know. Like, I didn't fail. Hannah, from a year ago, I'm talking to you, even though it's not possible, you didn't fail. Like, relax. It's fine. All that is to say, I started going to a new workout class studio a couple months ago. I saw it on TikTok. Oh my God, that's so embarrassing to say. I'd heard of it, okay, to be fair. I'd heard of it, but then I started seeing people talking about it on TikTok. And of course, the TikTok algorithm, when you watch videos about certain topics all the way through, it will feed you more of those videos. So I was getting more and more of them, and just like, it was piquing my interest. So it was SolidCore, by the way. That's the like studio and class that I was hearing about. So I decided, fuck it. I'm gonna sign up for ClassPass and I'm gonna get to a SolidCore studio and try a class for free. ClassPass, by the way, is like a subscription monthly thing where you get credits and you can spend them in quotes, at a bunch of different workout classes in your area. I live in New York City, so there's a lot of different places. I don't know how this works in areas that are more, like, that don't have as many options. I don't know if ClassPass is even a thing. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself, okay? It's not even important, but I got some, like, free credits. It's like a two-week free trial, so I was able to try a couple classes for free. And I tried a solid core class, and it was hard as fuck. So hard. I literally, after the first class, felt like I couldn't breathe. Like, I literally felt like I got hit by a truck. So naturally, with some of my remaining credits, I booked another one. And with ClassPass, you can't book two solid core classes at the same studio with your free trial credits. So I went to another studio and I tried again. And it was still very painful. But I, in that other class, heard that they had a trial, 2-week, $99 unlimited package thing that you could get. I believe this was back in December, like beginning-ish of December that I did this. So I signed up for the two-week, $99, unlimited, whatever, new client package. And I booked as many classes as I possibly could. That's not true. I probably could have gone every day. I could have gone every day, but I didn't. I booked a ton of classes in that two-week period, and I really, really gave it a go. And then it was Christmas, so I went home. But then I decided that I wanted to stick with this and keep trying and keep getting stronger, so I ended up getting a membership. My point of the story is I was literally dreading that first class, the very first one that I went to with my ClassPass credits, because I knew I would feel so awkward, first of all, going to the studio for the first time. Like, I don't know. You never know the vibes of a place, of a studio, of a gym. You never know the vibes because some of them are super fucking pretentious. Some of them, the vibes are just weird. Some of them are like, you know, laid back and comfortable type, like welcoming environments. You never know until you step in the door. So of course I'm thinking like, oh, what if it's the worst thing ever and I'm like miserable? You know, of course I always think of the worst case scenario before I go do something new. I was very, very nervous, really psyching myself out to go to the studio for the first time. And not only that, I mean, that's not even the biggest part, like the class itself I was nervous about. I spent so much time like researching Solid Core. I was reading all their like things on their website about the different movements and stuff that they do. I was watching YouTube videos, fully watching YouTube videos of Solid Core reviews, just so that I had as much information going into it as possible so I could, you know, try and do the best that I could. So I was just, the whole experience of the first class, I was so nervous. I wanted to cancel the night before. I was like, should I even be doing this? Like, this is really scary. And obviously, going to a workout class is like really not that deep of a thing. Like, I shouldn't have been that nervous about it, but this is something that I've struggled with for a while. So I was just really psyching myself out about it, and it was difficult for me. And I know that specifically working out and exercise in general are very touchy topics and difficult for a lot of people to even think about like starting the journey because it seems so overwhelming and such an uphill battle. That is exactly how I felt, like to a T. After the first class, I obviously felt better because the first is always the hardest. I always say that the first is the hardest, but the second is the most important. It's really hard to get to the first one because it's uncomfortable to take that first step, but the second is the most important because it's you deciding that you're going to do it again. You're never perfect at something after the first try. So deciding to do it again and not being discouraged and just, you know, wanting to keep trying is really important. It was mentally uncomfortable, but it was also physically uncomfortable because my body obviously was not used to that type of exercise yet. I played soccer, as I said, so I was used to exercising and being in extreme pain while doing so and after. So it's not like that was a new concept to me, but this was just so different than anything I'd ever done. I felt like I got hit by a truck after the first class, not even lying. So physically fucking uncomfortable. And I have introduced a couple of my friends to this. I brought one of my friends with me one time for her first class, and she literally texted me the next day and said, I cannot take a deep breath. And then another one of my friends just recently went, and she texted me just the other day and was like, it was so humbling. I'm in so much physical pain right now. And that is, yeah, that is true. But all that to say, now I have a membership and I go regularly. And over time, I got stronger. My body got stronger. I don't feel the soreness after the class or the day after as I felt the first time because my body is getting used to doing these things and it's getting stronger with every class. Even just yesterday, I haven't gone in a couple weeks because I had been sick. So yesterday was my first class back from being sick and it was painful. I was nervous because I was in such a good groove and then I fell out of the groove and I was upset about that, but it was really out of my control and I needed to just chill for a sec and that's okay. But I wanted to get back into it. So I got back into it yesterday and even like taking a couple weeks off and then going back, it's right now, it's the next day. And I woke up with my abs a little bit sore, but nothing compared to the first time, like the growing pain, if you will, of the first time I went. So my point is that I got stronger over time. I kept going. I kept practicing. I put in the reps. I'm still putting in the reps. It's not like me looking back at this journey. I'm in the journey right now. And I got stronger. I got more comfortable going to the studio. I got familiar with everything. I got familiar with the machine. I got familiar with the whole process of like getting there, checking in. And like, you know, I have my favorite machine that I go on now. And I just got comfortable in the environment. I know what the workout entails because I've done it a bunch. I know what they're talking about. Like the first time they were talking, the instructor, when I went, it sounded like complete gibberish. I was like, what the fuck are you telling me to do? I was like looking at everybody else because I could not figure out what the hell they were saying. But now I understand it because I've gone more and I know some of the people there now. Like I walk up to the check-in and the girl just looks at me and is like, you're good. And she knows my name. She remembers my name. I have an instructor that I love and my favorite instructor. And like she always says, hi, Hannah, when I walk in the class. Like they know me at this point. And so all of those things happened because I took the first step and I booked the first class and I went. Even though I was very nervous about it and it was so uncomfortable mentally and physically. And not only that, but I embraced the discomfort that I was feeling. I embraced the uncomfortable. I went back time and time again. I practiced. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. And I just kept going back and doing it over and over and over and over again. And as I said, that is the only way to become comfortable with the uncomfortable. Being in the class is still extremely uncomfortable physically. Exercising is not a comfortable thing ever, but I've become comfortable with that because I've embraced it completely. And I've really thrown myself into the process and just gone with it. And I don't give a fuck about the discomfort anymore because I know that the confidence that I'm gaining in myself and the strength that I'm gaining in my body are worth so much more than the momentary discomfort that I felt. That was a really long explanation of that example. I wasn't expecting to go into all that, but I wanted to give some backstory to kind of hit home how scary this really was for me and how, you know, far I've come with it just by taking that first step, even though it was scary. I have one more example, and this is probably one of the most monumental ones that I've ever done in my life. So my last example is moving out for the first time. This is something that I put off thinking about, even thinking about for months because I was so uncomfortable at just the mere thought of doing it. So I graduated college in 2021. I remember in my video, I made a video for like the new year in 2021 in January, and I remember talking about moving out. I think it was in that video that I talked about how I knew that I was graduating college this year and I knew that I wanted to move out, but I didn't know where. And just the thought of it was so overwhelming to me that I just like ignored it. I mean, I had school to focus on still, so I had a good distraction, but it was something that I knew was coming, but I didn't want to face it because I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, I didn't know anything. And it was just very fucking overwhelming because that's obviously a really big deal. Moving out of my parents' house for the first time, like not in a college housing setting, A. B, I had lived in my parents' house for the past 2 years. So my junior and senior year of college, I transferred home and I lived at home to finish up my degree. So I had gotten back into my comfort zone of my parents' house. And then I knew that I wanted to leave it, but I was so scared to do it. And I was like, I just would be chilling, like way more comfortable not having to put myself through any of this mentally if I just didn't do that, if I didn't move out. But I also knew that my growth potential was capped where I was. There was only so much I could do. And I had already pretty much maxed it out. Like there was really nothing more for me in my hometown, at my parents' house. I love my family, but for myself and my own growth in my life, I needed something new and I needed to step out of my comfort zone if I wanted to achieve any of the dreams that I had. And I have a lot of them. I can't actually tell you definitively what happened that I decided I was ready, but I can tell you that I graduated college in May and I spent the whole summer thinking like, okay, I'm gonna set my target move out date for about like the end of August, because then it would follow the school schedule. So like I usually got out of school in May and then I had the summer break and then I would start school up again in August. And that is literally what I have done for the past 22 years of my life. So I was like, I'll just follow that same schedule. So I kind of set that for myself. And as it got nearer and nearer to August, I was really fucking stressed because I still had no plan, no idea what I wanted to do. I was still very anxious about even thinking about it. So I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to make this fake timeline that I put in my own head. Like, there's no way I'm going to adhere to this because I don't know what I'm doing. And I kind of got down on myself for that. But that's a topic for another time. We can get into the whole moving out thing. That could be a whole episode if you guys are interested in hearing that. I have so much to say. Oh, I forgot to mention that after I graduated, I actually took a trip to New York City, aka where I live now. Spoiler alert. I took a solo trip for a few days to New York City. And I did this because I wanted to test out being there by myself. I knew from the jump that New York City was a dream place that I wanted to live. Every time I had visited, I was in love. I could just see myself there. So I wanted to really put that to the test and just see how I did in this environment by myself, because I had never gone here by myself before. Before that trip even, I was so nervous. Like, just the anticipation of it, again with the psyching myself out, I literally said to my mom the night before I was about to leave and drive up that I was like, should I only stay a couple of days? Should I shorten my trip? Like, I don't know how I'm gonna feel. And my mom was like, Hannah, just go. See how you feel. If you feel like you really wanna come home, you can. Nothing is stopping you. You can drive home whenever you want. But just go with the intention that you're gonna stick it out and you're just gonna, you know, see what happens. If something happens, you can come home. That's always an option, but just go. And I was like, okay, you're right. So I went, and on the last day of my trip, I was on Street Easy looking at apartments because I didn't wanna leave. I knew that New York is a place that I wanted to be. I just didn't know how I was gonna get there, because it seemed so unattainable and so difficult. And it was difficult, but I made it up to be this huge thing in my head, which I then used to psych myself out. So when it came time at the end of the summer, I went on a trip with a couple of my friends from YouTube. I went to visit my friend Lauren in San Diego with my friend Julia. And something about that trip, this is what I tell people at least, like, this is when my mindset on moving out shifted, because I spent time at Lauren's apartment and she lives out there. Well, she lived out there in her own apartment at the time when I went to visit her. Just being in that environment, seeing her thrive living on her own, kind of lit the fire under my ass that I needed to want to do that for myself. So I came home from that trip feeling so reinvigorated to start this process and just take the first step. So again, I started looking at Street Easy. I ended up getting my parents to come here with me for a weekend and we toured some apartments and I picked one and now I'm living in it. This was months in the making. This isn't something that I just was like, I want to move to New York, so I'm going to move to New York tomorrow. This was months of me being so scared and so uncomfortable at even the thought that I didn't even want to look past that. I didn't even want to take the first step because it was so out of my comfort zone. But I eventually got just the smallest glimmer of courage. And in that moment, I could have decided to ignore it, but I decided to take it and run with it. And now I'm here. It's been a year and a half. I have experienced some of the most profound personal growth in the last year and a half that I've been here, I have made so many amazing memories. Oh my God, I've seen Harry Styles 7 times since I moved here. I've met amazing people and had amazing experiences with friends, with my job. I have just had so much happen that never would have happened if I hadn't taken that small little fire that was lit under my ass and just ran with it, even though it scared me. And it scared the shit out of me. I swear to God, I remember driving up here on my move-in day and I was like, I'm doing this. I left my parents' house. I was crying. It was just very overwhelming. But looking back, I'm so grateful that past Hannah did that, because she really set the tone and laid the groundwork for Hannah of right now, aka me. It was so worth it. That discomfort that I felt is nothing compared to the joy and the growth and the memories that I have experienced since I've been here. Now, I don't want this to sound like moving and making that decision is all sunshine and rainbows and it's gonna be like this every time and it's gonna work out well every time, because I moved before and it didn't work out. And I think that's another thing that was really psyching me out too when I was thinking about moving out like this time around after I graduated. Went to Temple University my first 2 years of college, and obviously I had to like technically move out of my parents' house to do that, so I like moved into my college dorms, but it was nothing permanent. Like obviously my parents' house was still my home base. The college thing was just temporary, but still, it was moving out, okay? And it was my first experience ever living anywhere other than my parents' house. I've grown up in the same house my entire life, and I'm a huge homebody, so it was really, really, really fucking hard. I knew it was gonna be hard, but then I got there, and I didn't even like where I was. I didn't like the school. I just knew that it wasn't for me, and I lived there for 2 years, and it was just so incredibly hard. I felt like some of my loneliest points in those 2 years. So trust me, I know how it feels to like make the decision to move out and to fucking hate it and just want to go back. And I went back. I literally transferred after my sophomore year at Temple and I moved back in with my parents to like reevaluate. And what I want to say about that is that that is completely okay. If you are listening to this and that has happened to you, you moved somewhere, you didn't like it, and you wanted to go home and figure things out, good for you. Because first of all, that's a sign that you're not giving up and that you're not just going to like admit defeat and curl up in a ball. You came to the conclusion that something wasn't working for you. You made the decision to change it, to, you know, take a step back and go back to what you're doing, to reroute yourself and think about your next move. And if you're still in that stage, just know that better things are coming if you put yourself out there for them. It's completely okay to try something out, not like it, and then go back, reroute, reevaluate, and start again. You don't have to get everything right on the first try. I honestly feel like there is kind of a pressure, not, I want to say like by society, I guess it could be, to just get everything right the first time. A great example of this is when you're in high school and they want you to pick literally your college major when you're a senior in high school, and essentially your college major and like what you want to do for the rest of your life as a 16 or 17 or 18 year old. Society, I don't know, whoever, expects you to make that decision and then stick with it. Like, that's what you're going to do. So if you're 17 and you say, I want to be a doctor, the quote-unquote typical plan or typical path would be to go to that college, do whatever undergrad program, finish it, and then, you know, go on to the next thing. And then you say you want to be a doctor at 17, you're a doctor for the rest of your life. And I think that's insane. And it's not talked about nearly enough how okay it is to change your mind. You could think at one stage of your life that you want to do one thing, and then you could try it out, or you could just move into another stage of your life with different circumstances and decide that that's actually not the thing for you. That is completely okay. That is literally life. That's the point of life. So the fact that that really isn't, or at least wasn't when I was in school, encouraged, and it was more so just pushing the fact that you had to know what you were doing coming out of high school. You were going to pick a college. You were going to love it. You were going to graduate from there. You were going to enter the career path, field, or whatever of the major that you picked when you were 17, and you were going to stay in that until you're 65, is fucking insane. And you don't have to do that. Going back to what I said earlier, if you try something, you step out of your comfort zone and you don't like it, you can do something else. You don't have to do it again. You still learned. You still did it. You learned about that. You learned about what you like and what you don't like. You learned that you are able to embrace the uncomfortable, and you gain confidence in yourself just by doing it, just by trying. That confidence is going to carry over for the rest of your life, and you're going to have that forever. And it's just going to continue building when you try again and try again and try again. You could fall flat on your face. The most important part is picking yourself back up. And it is okay to fall on your face, by the way. That's life. Life is up and down and up and down and up and down. It's never all good. And it's also never all bad. God, I went on a tangent there. The example was about moving out for the first time. I guess my point is that it could go really well or it could not go really well. But either way, that's a valuable experience. And it's an experience that you wouldn't have if you didn't take that step and embrace being uncomfortable outside of your comfort zone. Anyway, y'all, oh my God, I have this crazy tickle in my throat. And every time I talk, I feel like I need to like swallow, but when I swallow, it doesn't help. That may be what happens when I've been talking for over an hour and I'm just getting out of having a cold and I still have a tickle in my throat anyway, because that tends to linger for 75 years after you're done having the cold, you know. I just love this topic so much because it's really important. This is something I love talking about with my friends and people in my life. I am always going to be the one to encourage you to embrace the uncomfortable and to take that step out of your comfort zone, because you either win or you learn. I'm always the one that's like, just do it. Like, why not? Give it a try. If you don't like it, that's okay. If you do like it, even better. And so I feel like that's what I wanted to tell you guys. And just to encourage you that you can do it. Even if it's uncomfortable, I know it's uncomfortable. You can do it anyway. You can embrace the uncomfortable. And that's what I wanted to say. So, oh my God, you can hear it in my voice, like the way my voice is like shaking because I have a tickle in my throat. I'm going to go not talk for the next 4 hours. I'm going to wash off my self-tan and I'm going to go have a nice dinner and night with my friends. And I hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day, rest of your week, whatever you're doing. I hope it's great. Remember to do something for yourself this week. Do something that's just for you. Do something that sparks joy for you. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. It's not for anyone else. It's for you. Do at least one thing for yourself this week. Maybe just picking up a book you've been wanting to read, vacuuming your apartment, painting a picture, whatever. Do one thing for yourself that sparks joy and is just for you. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of Digital Diary with Hannah Elise. And I will talk to you guys next week with a brand new episode. Bye.